Chapter 3, Section 2. Savedaitat paramam brahma dhama yatra viśvam nihitam bhāti subhram upāsate puraṣam śyasya kāmāste śukrame tadati vartanti dhīrāha. Whoever knows this Brahman, in which the universe in all its vastness is fixed, and which shines radiantly more than the sun. And those people who are devoted to such a person, without any kind of earthly desire, they go beyond the chances of coming back to this world in rebirth. Rebirth is severed completely from any possibility of taking place because of the causes of rebirth, which are the remainder of these sanchita karmas getting burnt and becoming like a burnt seed. The karma of the Jivanamukta Purusha is compared to a burnt seed or a burnt cloth. A burnt cloth may look like a cloth, but if you touch it, it is ashes. A burnt seed cannot germinate into plant, etc. Though it may look like a seed for all outside perception. So is the Brahman knower's condition in this world. He transcends the causes of rebirth. Shukrameta ativartanti. And therefore, people adore this great being. By the vibration that automatically arises around this person, a kind of purifying atmosphere is created. There is an aura around the knower of Brahman, which reaches some distance according to the intensity of his realization. It may be some feet, some kilometers, or some longer distance even. The light of the Atman emanating from within into longer distances outside the body is called the aura of a person. The radiance that cannot be seen with the eyes, but whose effects can be felt. There was a great saint and sage called Raghavendra Swami, and his samadhi is in Mantralaya, now in Andhra Pradesh. Three astrologers met him, it seems, and they saw his horoscope to find out how long he will live. One of the astrologers said 100, another astrologer said 300, the third astrologer said 700. How is it possible that three great astrologers say that he will live for 300 years, 300 years, or 700 years? The saint also was present there, in whose presence this discussion was taking place. So the saint said all the three astrologers are correct. For 100 years this body will last. For 300 years people will read the works written by this person. And for 700 years, the aura of this person will be felt around this samadhi. And this is the great proclamation of the saint himself. They say, whoever goes to Mantralaya and sleeps there for 3 nights, expressing some wish, that wish will be fulfilled because of the greatness of the aura that is there. To continue to operate even for 700 years after the passing, I think 700 years are not over yet, so you can go and see what happens. Such is the power of the knower of Brahman. Kama anya kama yate manya mana sa kama virjayate tatra tatra paryapta kama sagratatmanastu ihaiva sarve privilegyanti kama. If you desire anything, you will be born according to the nature of the desire. Inasmuch as every day we accumulate desires and go on piling them one over the other, and we have not got such a duration or the span of life long enough to permit us to enjoy all the desires, we die before the desires are fulfilled. Some of them are, of course, fulfilled, but many of them are not. And whatever remainder is there of your desires unfulfilled, they will decide where you will be reborn. So, it is up to each person to go on investigating into the mind of oneself and probe into what kind of desire is inside. Subtly or grossly, visibly or invisibly, covertly or overtly. It is proper and good for everyone to make a list everywhere of all desires, if the desires are there. It is good that they should not be there. And if they are there, you must fulfill them in this birth itself in some manner, or you must have some means of sublimating them by higher means, anyway, for this reason or that reason. The desire should not be there at the time of passing. Otherwise, the jiva, the sushma sharira, the mind and the senses will gravitate directly in the direction of that location where it is possible for the mind to fulfill its desires. So, birth, rebirth is unavoidable for those who entertain desires in the mind. Yah kaman kamayate manyamanah sa kama bhirjayate tatra tatra. Whatever be the desire, accordingly, in that particular place, corresponding to the nature of the desire, one will be reborn. But if the desires are all dissolved here, pariyapta kamastu vratatmanastu, if we have done whatever is to be done, and there is nothing more for you to do in this world, if you have known whatever is to be known in this world and there is nothing more to be known, and if you have seen and enjoyed things enough in this world and nothing more is there to be enjoyed, the desires melt instantaneously here at this very spot. All the desires melt into liquefied form and they should not cause any solidification of your mind in the form of rebirth. Ihaiva sarve pravilayanti kama. Because of the fact all the desires are fulfilled. You are kratakritya, prapta praptya, and jnata jnaya as they call. Kratakritya is one who has done what is to be done. Prapta praptya is one who has obtained what is to be obtained. And jnata jnaya is one who has known what is to be known. Though nothing more is there left. Hence the mind cannot have any occasion to desire another body for fulfilling itself, because the mind itself will not be there when the desires go. It is good therefore to see that the desires melt. If there are desires, fulfill them and see that they are not there somehow or the other. Nāyamātmā pravacanena labhyaha namedhaya nabahudha śrutena. Yamai vayata varunate tena labhya tavasyesha atma varunate tanom swam. This verse has occurred in the Kathopanishad also. Two or three of these verses have already been studied by us in the Kathopanishad. Which means to say, logical dispositions are not the means of knowing the atma. Not by intellectual academic knowledge. Not by lot of scriptural study. You shall be known only by that person who is chosen by the Atma. If God wills that you should know Him, you shall know Him. It is the grace of God, Dhato Prasadar Mahimanam Atmanah, is what is mentioned in the Kathopanishad. The grace of God is operating everywhere as events in this world and the cosmic history and the fate of people. The past, present and future of every individual is written down in the firmament of the cosmos. And therefore, it is up to you to devote yourself to the Supreme Atman, the soul of the universe, God Almighty, that you shall be in His good books. Nāyam ātmā balahīnena labhyaḥ A weakling cannot attain the Atman. The word Balahina has been used here in different senses. It does not mean that elephants will reach God and human beings will not, because elephants have a greater strength than human beings. Here, strength means toughness of the inner spirit. Of course, it also means physical health. It does not mean that you should be ill. Physical health is very necessary. But more than that, inner toughness of spiritual aspiration and the power of tapas, the strength of freedom from desire. All these are implied here by energy, strength, bala. And whoever has not got this bala or strength cannot attain the Atman. Atman is great energy, power and potential. And that can be reached only by a powerful person, spiritually great in energy. Therefore, weaklings cannot reach the most powerful one. Neither physically you should be weak, nor mentally, nor intellectually, nor spiritually, nor ethically. In everyone you are, in every field you are strong. Nacha pramada, by heedlessness, carelessness, slipshod attitude towards the Atman will not take you. How concentrated your mind has to be is mentioned here. Today I think of the Atman, tomorrow I think of the Anatman. Today I sleep away, tomorrow I shall do work, and day after tomorrow I eat, and then I go for a walk, and then go on tour, and do every blessed thing distractedly, in a perfunctory manner. This is called pramada, or careless behavior. A person who is careless in his attitude towards the Atman will not reach it. Tapasovapyalingat, by any kind of ostentation, pretension, vainglorious appearance in public life, this is not to be attained. The great in society need not really be great in the eye of God. And austerities which are physically oriented just, and even torturous mental restraints may not be adequate for the sake of the Atman. Because the highest tapas is love of God. Mumukshutva. And all austerity converges in this intense longing, devotion. And any kind of tapas or austerity minus devotion or longing and ends only in a kind of mortification of the spirit will not lead you to the Atman. Nayam Atma balahirena labhya naja pramada tapaso vyapalingat etairopayer yatateyastu vidvam tasyera atma vishate brahma dhama. All these methods that have been described earlier in this Upanishad have to be adopted. And you know what are these methods? Satyera, labhya, tapasa, kesha, atmas. And all this mentioned, you know, earlier verses. Satya, ahimsa, brahmacharya, aparigraha, asteya. These are the powers of a person. And the method of meditation has also been mentioned. By drawing the bow of the pranava of the Upanishad and discharging the arrow of the Atman on the target of Brahman with the force of devotion, you shall find yourself merged in Brahman as an arrow merges in the object or the target. Unless intense meditation is carried on for a protracted period, day in and day out, the knots of the heart cannot be broken, avidya, kama, karma cannot go. And any time the body may leave us, life is very short. And even in this short span of life, we do not know actually what length of life is actually granted to us. It may be tomorrow, day after, or 2 days after. A little grain of rice stuck in the throat will see you in heaven in 1 minute. So do not be proud of your glory, power and wealth and the imaginary length of time in this world. Frail is this body, uncertainly life. Therefore, gird up your loins, just now, now and not tomorrow. There is a saying in Hindi, Kal kare to, aaj kare to, ab. If there is something which you can do tomorrow, it is better you do today itself. And if there is something which you can do today, it is better you do just now. Why postpone it to after some time and tomorrow? That tomorrow may not come at all. Now, the verses following, with which we will conclude the Upanishad, speak of the final attainment of the soul, unity with Brahman, the attainment of final goals. What is that? How do you attain that? Some examples, illustrations are given here to make it clear as to how we unite ourselves with Brahman. Samprapyai namrshayo jnana truptah tradatmano vitaraga prashanta. Those who are calm and quiet in their minds, free from internal desires and external constraints of the senses. Vitaraga, wanting nothing. Pratatmanaha, who have done everything that is to be done in this world, and they are ready to give that and that is. Jnana Drivtaha, satisfied with knowledge only and wanting nothing else, through knowledge, knowing knowledge as the final end in itself. Realizing that knowledge is being, and it is not an instrument for the acquisition of something outside. Having attained to the Atman by this means, the blessed souls enter into that which is everywhere, from all sides, and become all by themselves. The soul, when it enters Brahman, enters into that which is everywhere. And enters not only from one direction or one passage, it enters from all sides. When we enter a house, we enter through one door only. We do not enter through all the doors of a house. But the soul, inasmuch as it has expanded its dimension to infinity, enters the Brahman, which is everywhere, from every side. From 10 directions, the soul will enter Brahman. And having entered it, the Atman becomes all things. It becomes all things. What does it mean? What do you mean by all things? This is a question of interpretation according to the schools of thought. It may mean becoming all things. May mean becoming the Supreme Absolute, which is all things. This is a simple and plain answer. Or it may mean becoming all the 14 worlds at one stroke, so that in your very personality you will see the 14 worlds scintillating as Virat Swarupa itself. Or it may mean that you are able to see yourself in every little creature in this world, in every tree and leaf and stone and atom. In the sun and the moon and the stars and the firmament, you will find yourself spread out everywhere. So whatever be the manner in which you understand this state of affairs, the final significance is that the soul, having become infinite on account of total freedom from all desire, enters the infinite. It is the infinite entering the infinite. Therefore, it enters in an infinite manner and becomes the infinite itself. So, infinite enters the infinite in infinite ways and becomes the infinite. That is the meaning of this half verse. E sarvagam sarvatah prapya dhira yuktatmana sarvameva abhisanti. It is a great blessedness to listen to all these words. Even the listening to these words and the bestowing of a little thought on what this means will purge us of all our sins and past karmas. Vedanta vijnana sunishchitartha சந்நியாசயோகா யதய சுத்த சத்வாஹ தே பிரம்மலோகேஷு பராந்த காலே பராமிரதாஹ பரிமுச்யந்தி சர்வே. Those seekers, knowers, whose internal nature has been purified by a life of intense quest and renunciation, and those who are well established in the Atman, and who have been illumined by the knowledge of the Vedanta Shastra, whose mind has been fixed forever in one given direction, who have attained a conviction which is forever certainty and no shaking of that conviction is ever possible. Such great souls reach Brahmaloka. There are two kinds of mukti mentioned here. The earlier verse which we read just now describes Sadhyomukti. What we are reading now will describe Krama Mukti. Sadhya Mukti is immediate liberation just here. Wherever you depart, whichever be the place where you die or cast off the body, at that very spot you merge into Brahman. If the drop in the ocean has to unite itself with the ocean, it need not have to travel some hundreds of kilometers to reach the ocean. It is just there and dives into the very bosom of its very own, very, very source, the ocean. And in a similar manner, the soul need not have to travel in some direction, go to sun, moon, star, etc. It dissolves itself, here itself, because that which it has to reach is here at the very spot where it is. That is called Sadhya Mukti, immediate liberation, very rare to obtain. Great difficulty attained by those most blessed ones who have no desires of any kind at all. Otherwise, the lesser ones reach Brahmaloka. Gradually, through the Devayana Marga, through the rays of the sun, and then through lightning, and through some Mahapurusha who comes and takes the soul by hand to Brahmaloka, and it is said that this soul will remain in Brahmaloka for such time as this universe lasts. Which means to say, for such length of time as Brahma himself rules the cosmos. At the end of the universe, which is the pralaya, or the ultimate dissolution of the cosmos, at that time the universe is dissolved, and together with it, Brahma also is dissolved. And when Brahma and the universe are dissolved in ultimate pralaya, the souls abiding there also will be dissolved, and attain Brahmaloka. I mean, attain absolute Brahma. Until that time, you will be in that region of the Creator. As long as the universe lasts, you will also be there. This is called Krama Mukti, the graduated system of attainment of liberation. In the case of those who have sattvic desires, who have done great sattvic upasanas, worshipped God with devotion, but sattvic karma is still persisting, and therefore they will not have immediate merging into Brahman, they will reach up through the graduated scale prepared by Prakriti itself through her Sattvaguna, and having reached Brahmaloka, at the end of time, they merge into Brahman. Either way, it is good. No harm. Let us go through Brahmaloka if we cannot have immediate liberation. E Brahmaloke Suparantakale Paramrata Parimuchyanti Sarve. Gatakala, all the faculties get dissolved. There are various faculties in us. There are five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, five pranas. There is manas, buddhi, ahankara, chitta. These are the kalas, are the faculties. They suddenly melt like snow before the heating sun. Gata, Kala, Panchadasha, Pradeta, here 15 faculties are mentioned, which are actually the five pranas, five senses of knowledge, and five senses of action. Mind included, it becomes 16. but here 15 are mentioned. And these 15 kalas, or you may say 16 kalas, all the perceptive and cognitive faculties dissolve. Together with their dissolution, individuality itself dissolves. Devascha sarve pratidevatasu, all the divinities superintending over the sense organs also withdraw themselves. They also get dissolved because the locations of these gods are dissolved. When your seat is gone, you have to quit that place. So, the gods who are controlling our sense organs, our faculties, Brahma was ruling the intellect, Moon was ruling the mind, Rudra was ruling the ego, Vishnu was ruling the chitta, and I was ruled by sun, and so on and so forth. These gods will have no function to perform afterwards. They return to their original sources and the faculties merge. Gatah kala panjadasha pratishtha devascha sarve pratidevatasu karmani vijnanamayascha atma parijaya sarva eti bhavanti. Even your karma, that is all. You need not have to pay penalty for what you have done. Because of the knowledge fire that has burnt all actions into ashes. Dhanatme sarva karmani bhasma sadhurati. The fire of knowledge can reduce to ashes even a mountain of sins. And the intellect, which is the seat of the ego, also goes with it. What happens? This individual soul, with all these appurtenances mentioned, all its properties and belongings psychically in their nature, go and settle themselves in that avyaya imperishable being and get united with it. This is the state of moksha. Parayaya sarva eki bhavanti yatha nadyasya andamana samudre astam gacchanti nama rupe vihaya tatha vidvan nama rupa adhimukta parat param purusham upaiti divyam. You attain to that supreme eternal purusha and merge into that purusha, unite yourself with that supreme being as rivers flowing in different directions go and commingle with the ocean. And you cannot know where what river is. So all the jivas who have been liberated will melt into this great Atman, universal being, as rivers melt in the ocean. As nama and rupa, names and form, are dissolved in the ocean of the rivers. Ganga is no more Ganga, Yamuna is no more Yamuna, and no river is there by its name and form. It is one mass of equality and merger. So, this person, this thing and that thing, whatever you see in this world, is lifted above the encasement of its names and form, and made to identify itself wholly, casting aside name and form in that big sea, the vast ocean of imperishable being. Yatha nadyasya andamana samudre astam gacchanti nama rupe vihaya tatha vidvan nama rupad mukta. Noira Brahman, having cast aside all names and forms, it is to that supreme being above all conceivable divinities in the cosmos. That supreme purusha becomes your goal. Parat param purusham upaiti divyam. The Upanishad is over. You have attained the supreme Brahman. What else you want to hear now? Sayoha vai tat paramam brahma veda brahma eva bhavati. If you know this Brahman, you shall become Brahman. Whatever you think you are, that you really are. If you know that your existence is inseparable from that universal Brahman, you shall become that. Whoever knows Brahman, becomes Brahman. Nasya brahma vidkule bhavati. In case the knower of Brahman is a householder, in his family, for 7 generations, a non-knower of Brahman will not be born because of the power of the realization of this person. It is said if one person in a family attains God, 7 generations behind
and seven generations ahead also will attain liberation by the power of this one person attaining the Brahman. So parents should not cry if one son attains God. Tarati shokam atma vipa, tarati shokam tarati bapmanam. You cross over sorrow, cross over all sins, and you break all the knots of the heart. Guha granthi dhyo abhimota amrdo bhavati. Immortal nectar do you become. Tadeta dajab dhyuktam. Here is the concluding verse. Kriya vantaha shrotriya brahmanishtaha swayam yukpada ekarishim shraddhayantaha tesha mevaitam brahma vidyam vadeta shirovartam vidhivat. This Upanishad is not to be taught to everybody. This is what this mantra says. You cannot go on blabbering it before all public unless they are purified in their mind enough to receive its import and meaning. Kriya Vantaha, all those people who have performed their duties well in this life, only those people should listen to it. Otherwise, you will have a wrong notion of there being no duty in this world, and we will, like a half-baked pot or a raw vegetable which is of no utility, you will become neither here nor there. Attainment of God does not mean violation of duty and rules that are binding you to the conditions in which you are. The duties that we are expected to discharge in this world are the automatic consequence of the location of our personality in society. You must find out where you are actually seated. Your physical body, your mind, and your very existence is conditioned by certain external atmospheres. You know very well what are the requirements of your existence in the world. And the sources which fulfill these requirements are those to which you owe some obligation. Somebody serves you. Somebody protects you. Somebody is taking care of you. Somebody sees that you are secure. And you know very well how your life in this world is made possible by various factors operating in this world, social and natural. To those things you owe an obligation. Therefore, those who have fulfilled their duties and discharged their obligation, kriyavanta, shrotriya, who know very well the import of the scriptures and do not have any kind of misunderstanding about them, brahmanishtha, whose mind is fixed in Brahman and who have no desire at all apart from that. Svayam yukpata ekarishim shraddhayantaha, who have performed the sacrifices that are expected to be performed through the stages of life that they have passed, brahmacharya, graharasya, vanaprastha, etc. Tesham evaitam brahma vidyam vadeta. You shall speak this brahma vidya, knowledge of this Upanishad, only to these people, and don't speak to other people. Shiro vratam vidivat yaitu jirnam. You should speak this Upanishad only to those who have performed shiro vrata. The word shiro vrata has been explained in various ways. They say the vow of head, it means. Some commentators say it is sannyasa, the shaving of the head, or the carrying of fire in the head, which is also one form of sacrifice that is performed before one enters into sannyasa order. It is also called Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka means shaving, mund. And so the word Mundaka as well as the word Shirovrata seem to imply that this Upanishad is intended only for sannyasins, and those who have not discharged their duties as householders or brahmacharis or whatever they are in the world under the conditions they are placed in life, who have not discharged their duties, cannot become sannyasins. And those who have desires in their mind also cannot become sannyasins. But those who have fulfilled these conditions, to them this Upanishad be taught. And only then this instruction will get rectified properly. Tadetat satyam rishir angira provacha. Shaunaka put a question to Angiras, you know, at the very beginning. What is that? By knowing which everything can be known. And the whole Upanishad is answer to that question, what is that by which you can know all things? Thus is the answer which Angiras gave to Shaunaka and all the rishis who were there in the audience. And this was told before, in the early days, Naita Dachirna Vrato Dhite. One who has not fulfilled his duties, one who has not undergone the necessary discipline for this purpose, will not read this Upanishad. Namah Paramarishibhyaha, Namah Paramarishibhyaha. Prostrations be to the great sages. Prostrations be to the great sages who have given us this great knowledge of the Upanishad. Hari Om Tat Sat.